right, thank you guys for giving today. As you can see, we're beginning a new series today. So if this is your first time, you picked a great Sunday to check out Bethel. We're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. Now, before I jump into that, I just want to invite all of you. We have been sending out some text messages for the past couple of weeks. And Pastor Richard and I are hosting what we're calling 2020 Vision Meetings. And we're inviting all of you to these. We had one last Sunday, but this today at 4 p.m. or 5:30 p.m. or next, the following Sundays in the month of November, we're going to continue to have these Vision 2020 meetings. Listen, it's not about giving money to a new building. So go ahead and erase that. Don't worry about that. It's not what we're talking about in these meetings. But we'd love for you to come because we want to prepare our church for what God has in store for us as we come into 2020. There's a sign-up table. As you leave today, please get signed up for one of these meetings. Again, it's each Sunday in the month of November. So we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. Now, probably most of you don't even know where that book is. All right, and that's okay. It's an Old Testament prophet, and so it's after the book of Nahum, N-A-H-U-M. On my Bible, it's 785. That's the page number. That doesn't help you at all unless you have my version. So it's probably in the 700s somewhere in your Bible. So let's try our best to find. I'm going to have the verses on screen. We're going to be covering throughout this series this book. We're going to start today, chapter 1. Next week, Pastor Richard's going to do 2, and I'll do 3 the following week. So we're going to read today Habakkuk. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're just going to read verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Here we go. The oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Here's what he said. O Lord, so he's basically giving a complaint to God. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Man, we're going to see that we can relate to Habakkuk. Or cry to you violence and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity or sin? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Here's God's answer to Habakkuk's questions. We're just going to highlight verse 5. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Now, most of us probably have never heard a message or a message series on the book of Habakkuk. And the reason why, a lot of people will say, how can this old book, because it is old, this old prophetic book that was for the nation of Israel, how could it be relevant to my life today? But as we walk through today and as we walk through this series, you're going to see that this book is very encouraging and very relevant to things that you and I face even today. And not just in our own personal lives. But this book is also relevant to the tensions that we as a nation and a world face. As a nation, when you talk about 2020 election coming, you're talking about some tension. Especially a church like Bethel's. When you have multi-ethnic groups, multi-ethnicities together, man, we don't want whoever is president to divide us as a church. Because we look to Jesus as a church. Amen? You think about the struggle that our nation has with other world leaders and the turmoil that their decision causes our nation. It's easy for us to get discouraged. I know with me, when I look at my iPhone and news pops up on my iPhone, it's not really good news. It's what? Bad news. Stuff happening in our world that wants to cause me to be discouraged. What about our own personal lives? You think about our own struggles, the pain you and I face, the questions we have can cause us, just like we're going to discover in Habakkuk. See, Habakkuk questioned God. Because of what he saw, he had some questions for God. And I think it's the same when it comes to you and I. Listen, this is going to be a great series to be a part of. And so I encourage you, make a commitment. I'm going to be here the month of November when it comes to Bethel, when it comes to this series. Also, I encourage you, you'll see these cards in the seat back in front of you. What we do in our community groups, all the community groups we have, which is our small groups here at Bethel, are listed on the back. We break the message down in a greater way in our community group. So if you're not signed up for one of those, I encourage you, get signed up for one of those, especially in this series. All of us can relate to Habakkuk at some point in our life. Because as we're going to see, what he saw caused him to ask questions like this to God. God, are you hearing my prayers? Ever been there? God, do you see what I'm going through? Ever been there? God, do you not hear what I'm saying? Or, God, do you hear me and you're refusing to answer? I think we've all been there like Habakkuk. All of us have questions like that at moments in our life. God, what's going on? Why is this happening? Why are my prayers not being answered? You know, as we close this message out, I encourage you to stay. Just because I close the message doesn't mean it's over. We have a testimony that's going to come from a lady at Bethel that had these very same questions that we're going to see Habakkuk had. And we're going to see that the answer may have not come the way she thought it was going to come, but yet God used it in a mighty way. So you're going to get to hear the story, that story at the end of this message. As we read this chapter 1, we're going to feel the tension that Habakkuk faced. But we're also going to discover that there was a temptation that he faced as well. Because the temptation with the questions that we ask always comes this temptation for you and I to give up on God. For you and I to stop believing in Him. For you and I to turn our backs on Him. So let's dive into Habakkuk 1 right here. See, Habakkuk has two complaints that he presents to God. And God gives him one response. The second response is in chapter 2, which is what we're going to talk about next week. As we open this chapter, we can immediately see there is a problem. Habakkuk says to God, God, how long must I cry and you not listen? It seems like that Habakkuk has been having this conversation with God for a while now. And the reason why is because what he is experiencing, what he's facing, what he's seeing violence done to his nation. He's seeing iniquity, he's seeing sin, he's seeing the law not being obeyed. And because of that, he keeps going to God and telling him, God, don't you see what I see? I mean, he's like you and I. He believes in the big God that knows all. And he's going to God, God, don't you see what I see? But in verse 3, we actually find something very astonishing. We find that Habakkuk is not just being bold when it comes to his conversation with God, but he actually is challenging God. That's pretty bold. He's not just giving bold statements. He says to God, God, he says, why do you sit idly? Why don't you do something? Why do you tolerate, basically, what is wrong? Now, most of us have probably never been that bold or that honest towards God. These statements that Habakkuk makes actually looks like he is borderline, he's almost on the borderline of disrespecting God. Reading this should cause us to ask some questions. Can we talk to God like this? Ever wondered? Can I be bold towards God? Can I be like Habakkuk? Verse 12 helps us with this question. What does Habakkuk say? He says, are you not from everlasting? God gives this response to what Habakkuk says. We're going to look at that here in a moment. And Habakkuk says, are you not from everlasting? Verse 12. O Lord, my God, my Holy One. Habakkuk looks at what's happening. He hears God's answer. And God's answer, which is to Habakkuk, looks like craziness. Because God says to Habakkuk, what I'm going to do to answer your prayer is I'm going to bring a violent military army called the Babylonians. And I'm going to bring more destruction, Habakkuk. Now, this is mind-boggling for this man. How can God, who is holy, and that's why he says, God, I thought you were holy. Lord, I thought you were righteous. I thought you were infinite. See, Habakkuk's struggling here. He's struggling. God, I thought you were all these things, but yet this is what I see. How could you bring a violent army to answer my prayer? I don't want more destruction. I want peace. But yet God's saying he's going to bring more destruction. And Habakkuk is having a challenge with God. See, God says he's raising up the most ruthless and evil nation, and they're going to conquer Israel. Now, for this man, basically Habakkuk's saying, if we could kind of read through the lines, he's saying, you, God, call that an answer? Basically, are you nuts? I thought you were holy. I thought you were wise. His words reveal that this man, like us, when we have questions, he's struggling with doubts, wondering, is this God who he really says he is? See, one of the greatest things in this book is after Habakkuk makes all these statements to God and he gets an answer that he doesn't want to hear, you know what the great thing about this book is? Is Habakkuk prays again. He goes back. What does that mean? It means he's not turning his back on God. We're going to talk more about this next week, but never did it cross Habakkuk's mind that I'm going to abandon God. Even though I have questions, even though I don't understand what's going on, he is making a choice. I am not walking away from God. What's going on here? See, Habakkuk is faithfully wrestling with God. Not wrestling, like we say in the South, wrestling. He is faithfully wrestling with God, even when life seems unfair. Habakkuk is looking at things in his life and his nation, and he's trying to find answers. And all of his questions, all these things that God is saying to him, is causing him to wrestle with God faithfully. Now, some would say that you should never do this whole wrestling with God. Some would say you should just allow whatever happens, happens. And you just keep moving forward the best that you can. Others would say, well, because my questions are not getting answered, or because I don't like what the answers God is giving me, I'm not going to believe in Him any longer. Because my prayer is not being answered on my timetable, therefore I'm just going to walk away and this God stuff doesn't work. When you look at Habakkuk, he's neither. He's not in either one of these. Habakkuk is choosing to be honest, but he's also choosing to trust God. He's choosing to wrestle with God. See, the reason why in verse 12 he says, my Holy One, because here's what he's saying. He's saying, God, the only reason why I'm so upset, the only reason why I'm so frustrated is because I know you're infinite, because I know you're holy, because I know you're righteous. What he couldn't figure out is how can this good God use something as evil to bring about his plan? Ever been there? See, Habakkuk is choosing to suffer with God instead of without God. Friends, I'm here to tell you, when we walk through difficult moments, whatever it may be, maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's an illness that we get, maybe it's we lose someone that we love, I'm telling you, the temptation will always come to walk, turn your back on God and walk away. And if anybody in this room thinks that we're too holy or we know too much, friends, we are lying to ourselves. Because all of us, including myself, your pastor, faces the temptation to say, God, this stuff doesn't work. Forget this church stuff. Forget these Christians. And we're going to choose to do our own thing. That temptation will come. And we all have an opportunity in those moments to make a decision. Are we going to trust God? Even though we have questions, even though we have frustrations, because here's the thing, that's all right. It's all right to be frustrated. It's all right not to have the answers. It's okay to have questions to God, ask questions to God. But it's not okay to turn your back, because here's the thing, turning our back on God will never take the pain away. You know what it will take away? It takes the hope away. So we, like Habakkuk, have to choose, you know what, I'm going to suffer with God. Here's the good news. Guess what? You're at church today. So even though you're miserable, hey, guess what? You're miserable in the right place, praise the Lord, right? Better than being at home by myself. At least I'm miserable around the people of God in the house of God. Let's rejoice over that. You know, I think about my own life. When I'm wrestling with God, sometimes I hear things coming out of my mouth, out of frustration, out of hurt, out of pain, and I think to myself, uh-oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. I think to myself, God, do you get upset at me when I say things like this? See, this is why, friends, you and I have to read our Bibles. Because when you read the book of Psalms, you're talking about somebody keeping it real. You're talking about people saying things like, God, get away from me, basically, in the book of Psalms. You read the book of Job. You ever read Job before? Man, you talk about keeping it real. You think about Peter in the New Testament. This guy Peter turned his back on Jesus. You know what he said? He said, depart from me, Lord. Think about a statement like that. Now, we know that Peter didn't really want Jesus to depart from him. But because of the guilt Peter felt from how he denied Jesus, this statement came out of his mouth. And I'm sure Peter was thinking to himself, why did I just say that? You know what statements like that or prayers in the book of Psalms, you know what it reveals or it bears what you know what it bears witness to you and I? What it speaks to us about? It tells us that God understands. Listen to this. It communicates to you and I that God understands that He knows how we speak when we are desperate. Man, that's good. I'm just going to amen myself on that one because y'all didn't amen it, but that was good. God knows how we speak when we are desperate. Think about it. Why would God continually talk to Habakkuk? After all these questions, God thinking, God, are you crazy? You sending this military force to bring more violence, more destruction? I just told you we were experiencing a lot. Are you nuts, God? Why would God keep talking to Habakkuk? The reason why is because He knows. God knows how we speak when we are desperate. Friends, this God that we serve is not just some deity in the sky. Guess who He is? He's our Father. He is our Heavenly Father who loves us, who is committed to us, no matter what we say or do not say. Do we say wrong things in moments of desperation? Yes, of course we do. Do we do crazy things and say crazy things? Yes. But God knows how we speak in our desperate moments. He's our Father. We're His children. He loves us. He doesn't just put us aside because we say something we should not say. Or we say something that we hope the pastor doesn't hear. Or our spouse doesn't hear. He knows how we speak when we get desperate. Habakkuk knows something about God that we need to understand. There's an understanding that Habakkuk has about God's grace. A kind of grace that you and I need to take hold of. That our relationship with Him is not based on what we do, but it's based on His covenantal commitment to you and I. That word covenant means something bled so that you and I could be in relationship with Him. That's what cutting covenant means. Something had to bleed. Something had to be hurt. Something had to be harmed so that you and I could be His son or daughter. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He is committed to us. Therefore, when I go to Him, I know I'm not just approaching this big cosmic force. I'm approaching a Father. Therefore, when I go, I can be fully assured that God hears my request, that He desires to answer my questions. But do we know God as Father today? I believe you're going to after this series as we walk through this. See, this gives us the freedom to ask God any question, even the hard questions. Even the questions that sometimes we ask and it takes years for us to get the answer. Years. God's patient. God loves us. Let's get back to God's answer to Habakkuk here in verses 5 through 6. God's telling Habakkuk, it's like, Habakkuk, I'm going to answer your question, but again, I want you to know that you're not going to like the answer. Because here's God's answer. Habakkuk wants salvation, but God's going to send judgment. So the big question, the big tension, the big problem for this man is how can God, and many of us face this as well, how can God bring salvation out of judgment? How can God bring good out of evil? How can God bring hope out of hopelessness? This is the question of Habakkuk. This is our question as well when we face difficult things. And here's what we learn as we walk through God's response. We learn, number one, is that you and I cannot judge God on our own timetable or by our own calendars. For Habakkuk, he could never fathom how God was going to use this. But here's the thing. As we have another vantage point than this man, for us, we can look back on history. And what we see throughout history, what happened because of this raiding army called the Babylonians, it caused the Jews to disperse. It's called the exile. And the exile, really what happened, it caused the Jews to spread all throughout the Roman Empire. You know what these Jews begin to do? These Jews, as they spread throughout the Roman Empire, they begin to build synagogues. The synagogues were places of worship. And these synagogues were set up around other nations, which were called the Gentiles, all the other nations. And because of these synagogues, these Gentiles over the nations got to experience the things of God. And what we discover as we move into the book of Acts is the very first people to respond to the gospel, guess was who? Gentile nations. You know why? Because since Habakkuk's day, they have already been exposed to the things of God. Habakkuk could never have seen that. What about in our own current or our world events? You think about the communism that came to China. When communism took over China, they kicked all the Christian missionaries out. And for America, America was wondering in that time period, what is going on? Have we wasted 100 years of Christian mission work in China? How could God ever use the evil of communism to bring about His glory and His goodness? Here's what happened when all the Americans left. Guess what they left behind? They left behind Chinese disciples. And these disciples begin to take ownership of their own nation. And they begin to preach the gospel themselves. Because the Americans were no longer there to do it, they had to take the mantle. They had to take the reins. And they begin to declare who God was. And guess what? The gospel spread faster because the Chinese took ownership of their nation. See, many times we can look back and see how God was moving, what God was doing. But here's the hard thing. Sometimes we look back and we can't see. That's a hard truth. Sometimes we only discover what God was doing when we get to heaven. Now, I know that's not easy to swallow. That's difficult for us. Very difficult. Because we all go through what? Personal tragedies. We all go through struggles. Nobody here, no one here, I promise you, not one single person here got married to get a divorce. I have never, look, one of the things I love, you probably heard me say this before, I love weddings. I love doing weddings. Everybody's happy and there's good food. Man, I love it. I love being down front with the bride and groom. I love all that. But never once has the couple come down and the couple stop me and say, hey, this is going to last about 2 years. Then we're going to get a divorce. That has never happened and never will. Because why? We come down with hope in our heart, right? We're going to be together forever. Stuff happens. Things change sometimes. Divorce. Nobody wants to get a divorce. Nobody wants to come down with a terminal illness. My dad, I got a report this week that my dad has been diagnosed with ALS. Never would I imagine. Who knows how long he has? 2, 3, 4 years. Who knows? My dad's Superman. Never would I think that my dad would be diagnosed with a terminal illness. See, all these things, divorce, illnesses, losing loved ones, it causes us to want to have an answer. God, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And I know we want answers, But many times, sometimes it takes time, and sometimes the answer does not come until you and I get to heaven. This is Habakkuk. He's the same way. He wants answers. God say, okay, I'm going to give you an answer, Habakkuk, but you're not going to like it. See, Habakkuk could never see. God's our Father. I think about my own son. I think about my son Hudson. He's 6 years old. You know, my son Hudson, all he ever wants to eat, breakfast, lunch, dinner, is candy all day long. Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have that? I mean, he'll come to me every night after we eat dinner. I mean, like an hour later. Parents, and you know that's frustrating. An hour later, Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I get a sucker? I'm thinking, son, that does not fill you up. You'll want another one. No, eat some cereal, right? But he doesn't, it's not when he comes to me and says, Daddy, why can't I eat more candy? I don't sit down with him and give him a dissertation about nutrition and health and all that, do I? No, I don't do that. I say, son, that's not good for you. Son, you have to what? What do I say? Son, you have to trust me, right? As a father speaking to my son, I know what's best. And then those moments when he wants an answer, Daddy, why can't I? Son, you have to trust me. See, his mind and my mind, huge gap. Now, what about when it comes to God? What about our mind and God's mind? God knows the end of the thing before it even begins. See, he's sovereign. How, though, do we grow in this trust? How can we walk away today from Habakkuk chapter 1 and know that I can be fully confident that I can trust God no matter what is happening, no matter what pain I go through, what difficult thing I face? How do I know, even though I can't see, even though I'm asking, I'm not getting an answer, how can I be confident? Jesse, you can come on up. You know, in Acts 13:41, you actually find the very same scripture in verse 5 in Acts 13:41. Let's read it. It says, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days. Very same scripture. That you would never believe, even if someone told you. Here we have the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is writing, and this is in the context of him talking about Jesus. So Apostle Paul looks at Habakkuk chapter 1. And he, just like you and I are, and he tells us in Acts 13 that Habakkuk really was speaking about the coming Messiah, Jesus. Now we may say, hold on, I thought he was talking about bringing this violent, destructive army called the Babylons. Paul is telling us that we have to look at the principle that Habakkuk chapter 1 is teaching us. And the principle is this, that God, he is a God who brings, get this, light out of darkness. That he is a God that brings hope out of hopelessness. That he is a God who brings good out of evil, pain, and suffering. That he's a God that brings meaning and purpose out of the difficult things of life. Well, how do we know that? Well, ultimately, that is expressed in the face of what Paul is talking about in Acts 13, in Jesus Christ. Jesus, in verse 12, as he says, my Holy One, that's Jesus. The reason why Jesus went through the evil and the pain and the suffering that he did for you and I is so because he is holy. See, Paul again, I'm sorry, Habakkuk, listen, he couldn't understand. How can salvation, something good, come out of judgment, something bad? That is only answered in the face of Jesus Christ. Habakkuk's question, ultimately, guys, it was never fully answered. But guess who it gets Guess who gets the full answer? You and I do. We get the full answer that Jesus brings salvation out of judgment. He was judged, therefore what? We are saved. Amen? He is the one who brings hope out of hopelessness. Friends, I'm telling you, if you have not given your life over to Jesus, you got to. He is the only one that makes the difficult things of life make sense. It's Him, nothing else. It is Him. He brings meaning and purpose out of our pain. He brings life out of death. Guess what? We don't have to be confused. We don't have to remain frustrated. Even though we may be going through something that's difficult, we can have hope, praise God, that God's going to use it. You know, as I was preparing this message, I knew that this lady's story would be so impactful for us today. This lady has been at our church now for 10 years. 5 years ago, on Christmas Eve night, you see that picture there. There's me photobombing Ty, and that's Ty Sweeney and Pastor Richard. 5 years ago, Christmas Eve night, my wife and I get a phone call from Ty's daughter, one of Ty's daughters, he has two girls, Conley and Claudia. It's a call from Conley. She's just screaming, crying. She begins to tell me that the ambulance is on her way. The ambulance is on its way to take Ty to the hospital. Dee and I jumped in the car. We drove to Hopkinsville, got into that hospital room, began to lock arms with Ty's wife, Sarah, really believing for a miracle. But for some reason, God had other plans. December 30th, 2014, Ty passed away. And my wife and I had been walking with Sarah. They're really great friends of ours. And I've been walking, my wife and I with Sarah, walking with her and watching her face this tragic situation. And just watching her go through everything we just talked about. And really watching her relationship with God catapult to the next level. And she's here to tell her story today. Give a big hand clap for Sarah. Sarah, come on up here, sweetheart. Got your tissue, Sarah? Sarah, I'm so glad you're doing this, and I know it's going to encourage so many people. And I'm standing right over there behind you, all right? Okay. Let me see, sweetie. Let me do it, baby. Boom. Okay.
Not an easy story to get up here and tell. But if it can bring hope to you today and bring glory to God, it's all worth it. That picture up there brings smiles to my face. Ty and I got married at a very young age. I probably wouldn't recommend it, but we got married at 19 and 20. We were two kids with nothing to our name. We were believers. We clung to Jesus. We grew up together. We didn't do everything the right way. We weren't perfect, but we became as one. Yeah. We had two beautiful daughters who were here in the early service. And if you knew Ty, you loved Ty. Yep. And I'm not just saying that because I was his wife, but when you were around him, he had a contagious spirit. He loved life.
Good.
He loved his Bethel church. He loved to worship God. He had so much wisdom. He would joke, sometimes not when I wanted him to, but he would always bring funnies. He would always make us laugh, and he would always build others up. We had been married 18 years, and we were in a good place. Again, not perfect, but we were in a good place. until Christmas Eve 2014. It was Christmas Eve, and I don't know about you, but my household is stressful on Christmas Eve. I'm the mom trying to get it all done, trying to hold it together. We had places to go, and I was telling everybody what they needed to do. I was going to get gifts in the other room. They were all kind of grumbling and like, you need to be happy, it's Christmas Eve, you know. And I came back in the kitchen, and Ty was on the floor. And I really thought he was being funny, like, I'm not going to go. And it's like, Ty, get up. We got to be at your mom's. We have to go. And it was when I heard my oldest voice, and I can still hear it to this day. Mama, he's not joking. Something's wrong. He's not joking. And he wasn't. We called 911. Praying, trying to tell him to hold on and to not leave us. We got to our local hospital, and I remember a friend of mine who's a nurse practitioner, and she came in there what seemed like forever, and I was physically sick at my stomach, and I remember her saying, we have a pulse. So I had hope. I remember my youngest crying out, saying, please don't let my daddy die on Christmas Eve. Please don't let my dad. It's hard to hear because you knew how real it was. And they said, if we can get him stable enough, we'll get him to Nashville. And hopefully we can figure out what's going on. And I just thought, yes, let's get him there. Yeah. The weather was too bad to life flight him, and the life flight team went in an ambulance with him. And I remember the nurse saying, I'll call you if we don't get there. What? Yeah. We spent the next several days in the hospital believing, hoping, praying for a miracle, because I believe God could heal him. I know he could. I had no doubt. My pastor stood with me, prayed. My daughters, who were 12 and 18, came in there and started singing praises, started claiming. It was Sunday, December 28th, and we prayed as a church, and I'd put, I think Lance had called me, and we put it on speaker, and I had it up to Ty's ear, and I was believing, and us as one were praying, God, heal him, heal him. It was that night, very late, that the head doctor came in and made rounds, and he looked at me, and he said, you've told me a lot about your husband. And he said, I've been believing with you. But the truth is, he's never going to be the Ty that you knew him as. And I thought, I can't make decisions right now. I can't. It's late. I've gone on days with no sleep. I've got to talk to my girls. And we got up the next morning, which we really didn't sleep, but we talked. We took a walk, and we made some difficult decisions at 38, 18, and 12. That I wouldn't wish upon anybody. But I knew Ty's heart. I knew where he's going. We're not promised that we're going to be here forever. He wasn't mine to begin with. He was God's. So we made the difficult decision to take him off life support. The doctors had prepared me that, you know, he's a healthy 39-year-old man. I can't give you how long. It could take 30 minutes. It could take hours. But I pray, dear God, please just take him. I give him back to you. I don't want to see him suffer any longer. And you see, this was the 29th. December 30th was my 19th wedding anniversary. I couldn't deal with that. So we said our goodbyes, and I didn't want anyone back there with me. I wanted to be me and him. I wanted to give him some dignity as he took his last breath. I got 15 and a half hours with him. He took his last breath on the morning of December 30th, our 19th wedding anniversary. You know, a few days earlier, we were celebrating Christmas as a family of four. And now I'm walking out on December 30th, when I should be celebrating my love with him and going and planning a funeral. Do you think I didn't question God right then? I was a believer. I didn't understand why, God, why are you doing this to me? Why? I would love to tell you that I left the hospital. I went through the stages of grief like I needed to go through. I was healed and all is well. But the truth of the matter is, grief is an ugly beast.
Good, Sarah.
The enemy wanted to use that to destroy me, to bring me down. And as I said earlier, we could spend a whole sermon series talking about it. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not. I'm going to focus on the hope.
Good.
The hope that God gives me every single day. I realized we had to start living. Ty always said, the Sweeney train is moving forward. Let's keep going. We're moving forward. And grief can be so heavy. It even made me leave Bethel for a while. I couldn't even hardly come in here. It hurt. I cried. Every time I come here, I still cry. But I'm back.
Yeah.
And, you know, it became so heavy that we had to laugh again. We had to start setting some goals. So I started telling my girls, you have to go look for something funny during the day. They thought I was crazy. They were kind of ugly to me. I don't have anything funny. I don't want to sell anything. I said, then you make it up because we're going to laugh.
There you go.
We're going to live. We're going to set some goals. And I didn't say it last time, but you know what? My kids have persevered.
Yeah.
My daughter, oldest daughter, went off to college, finished in 3 years, planting some roots in Nashville. My youngest, who her biggest fear was she was going to lose a parent one day, has come over fear and anxiety. She's getting ready to graduate high school with a 4.0. She is persevering. We are not letting that define us. I went back to school. I got my second master's. And you know, guys, it is so easy to trust God when life is good, when life is wonderful. Yes, I can praise Him. I can raise my hand. But what does it say if I don't praise Him when I'm struggling, when I don't know the whys, when I don't know what to do next? What does that say? So I'm clinging to His promises. I am clinging to them. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm changing. I'm being transformed. And if Ty came back, I don't even know that he would know me. I think he'd celebrate with me, though, on who I am. My faith is stronger. My relationship with God is deeper. And guess what? He's bringing me into a new season.
Come on, good.
I don't know what it looks like, but we're right there. He's bringing it to me. So I leave you with this. I've accepted the fact I'm never going to know why on this side of heaven. I'm never going to know why. And I really think when I get to heaven, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. I'm going to be reunited with Him, but I'm going to be with my Lord.
Yeah.
I claimed as a little girl, Jeremiah 29:11 on my life. He's got a perfect plan for
good.
Me.
Good.
He knows. He wants me to have a good future. And He's got it all mapped out. It's not what I want. However, if I'm going to trust that perfect plan, I'm going to trust His process. So I encourage you today, if you don't know your why, keep walking
good,
in that
Sarah.
Lightness. Keep walking in that trust. Keep saying, I'm trusting you, God, in these hard moments.
Good.
And whatever you want to do, do
good.
It.
Thank you, Sarah. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? That was amazing, Sarah. I'm going to get Sarah to pray for us. Why don't we just bow our heads here for a moment? God's good. He's sovereign. It's tough sometimes to understand, but His ways are perfect. He can bring light out of darkness. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to cause hope to arise this morning.
Father God, we come to You this morning as hurting individuals, sometimes questioning why, what are we doing, where are we going? But thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for what you have done for us. Help us to cling to your word.
Yes, good.
Help us to cling to your promise. Help us to walk in that lightness and get out of that darkness.
Yes.
Where no matter what we're going through, what we're walking in, what we're grieving, what we're holding on to, dear Lord, that we can cling to you and we can give you praise and glory.
Yes.
No matter what suffering we go to. I pray that no one leaves here today.
Yes.
That are hurting, that are struggling, that has questions, that do not know if they're saved or they're not, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing at Bethel Community Church. Thank you for letting me be a part of that.
Yes, Jesus.
We're going to trust your process in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give Sarah another big hand clap. Thank you so much, Sarah. Guys, listen, as we dismiss here, our prayer team, Sarah's going to be standing down front. If you need prayer concerning anything, we're here to stand with you in prayer. Don't forget to sign up for our 2020 vision meetings right out the door. Pastor Aaron will be out there. You can get signed up for that. Also, if you're a guest with us, I'm going to be in the Global Cafe. We have a little thing called First Step. I'd like to meet you as you leave today. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.